Hamas fired several rockets into Israel after it warned Tel Aviv to withdraw its forces from the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Israel intensifies its violent crackdown on Palestinians at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, with more than 300 Palestinians injured only on Monday. And India registers more than 366,000 new infections and a further 3,700 deaths. Warm welcome to our studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says it fired rockets at Israel shortly after explosions were heard in Jerusalem al-Quds. Hamas did not elaborate on the operation, but it earlier warned Israel that it would face escalation over its crackdown against Palestinians in the city. Hamas had given a deadline to the regime to withdraw its forces by 1,500 GMT from the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound and a nearby neighborhood in Jerusalem al-Quds. The Israeli military confirmed 7 rockets were fired from the Gaza Strip that landed at Jerusalem al-Quds and nearby areas. The military said more rockets were landing in southern Israel. Palestinian media also said that Israel carried out missile strikes in the northern Gaza Strip, causing injuries. Let's get an idea from both of our correspondents who are joining us for this special coverage, Ashraf Shannon from Gaza City. We also have Mona Kandil, who joins us from occupied Ramallah. First, over to you, Ashraf Shannon. We know that rockets have been fired from the Gaza Strip. If you can tell us how many, what has happened, and also the fact that Israel has retaliated with rocket fire from their side, and we understand some casualties have occurred as a result.
Well, there's the Palestinian resistance groups, mainly the Ezzedine Qassam Brigades, Hamas's military wing, and the Al-Quds Brigades, Islamic Jihad military wing, have confirmed firing rockets towards the Israeli regime in retaliation for the Israeli violations and attacks and aggressions on Palestinians in Jerusalem al-Quds, as well as the holy sites in Jerusalem al-Quds. Around 5 p.m. Local time today, the Hamas top military commander put a deadline for the Israeli regime to de-escalate and occupy Jerusalem al-Quds by 6 p.m. local time. That was about an hour ago. And apparently the Israeli regime did not heed these warnings. So the Palestinian resistance factions began firing rockets towards the Israeli regime. And earlier today, Palestinian factions again warned the Israeli regime against the attacks on Jerusalem al-Quds. So far, the Israeli regime has responded to the rocket fire by carrying out at least 2 airstrikes in northern Gaza. There are casualties, most likely children. We're still waiting for more details to come in.
Mona Kandil, we understand that rockets have landed in Jerusalem al-Quds or the surrounding areas, and also the fact that Israel has retaliated. Tell us information that you have on those incidents.
According to the Israeli media, rocket sirens sounded in central Israel, the lands occupied, and in Jerusalem, al-Quds, exactly at 6 o'clock, after at the time thousands of Israeli settlers were parading through Jerusalem, al-Quds on Jerusalem Day. It seems that the Israelis didn't take seriously the threats of the Hamas movement and its military wing. The Israeli military said that 7 rockets were fired towards Israel. 1 was intercepted by the Iron Dome missile defense system. Also, the Israelis are saying that an inhabited building was struck by one of the rockets, and a fire broke out in another settlement. These settlements around the Gaza Strip, Sederot and Ascalon, were also hit by the rockets that Hamas movement claimed responsibility for. There was a session for the Israeli Knesset, but immediately as the sound of the sirens, the members of the Knesset were ordered to immediately leave.
Ashraf, at this point, we know that Hamas did issue a warning and it followed through on it. Has Hamas followed through completely on what it had said that it was going to do? Are there anything else that they may want to do, i.e. More strikes against Israel?
Well, the rockets are still being fired from Gaza, mainly towards the Israeli areas close to the Gaza Strip. And I think Hamas's retaliation will depend on what Israel will do in the coming minutes or hours. If they attack Gaza, they will the Palestinians in Gaza will retaliate. We have to understand that Israel is the aggressor. Israel will be, is the one who started all of this by harassing Muslim worshippers in occupied Jerusalem Al-Quds, and also trying to evict dozens of families from the East Jerusalem's Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood.
So, Mona, if what has occurred in terms of rocket fire landing in Jerusalem, from what we understand, or in the outskirts of it, has that stopped the protests? I mean, how are people reacting to this?
Well, Palestinians in Sheikh Jarrah, according to reports we received, were very glad for the response from the Hamas movement, that there's a response coming from the Gaza Strip, especially that Palestinians in the West Bank were not able to enter Jerusalem Al-Quds because of the military checkpoints and the strict measures Israeli issued permits Palestinians must get before entering Jerusalem Al-Quds. There were demonstrations in the last few days in some areas in the occupied West Bank, and people marched towards areas where Israeli soldiers stationed, Israeli military checkpoints, whether at Qalandia or Qalandia military checkpoint or Beit Eid. However, the response and the firing of the rockets, of course, has a clear message that we are not only sending threats, but also we are defending Jerusalem Al-Quds and the Palestinians living there. It's a very strong message, according to the Palestinians in Jerusalem Al-Quds, and they are glad. But what's maybe leaving the Palestinians a little bit afraid is the response from the Israelis, especially that now we are receiving, according to reports from Israeli media, saying that the retaliation would be very strong and that at least three Palestinian children were killed in the Israeli fire in Beit Hanun, northern the Gaza Strip.
Okay, Mona, so if I want to break this down a little bit, are you getting a sense that there's going to be more aggression from Israel against the Gaza Strip based on what has happened? And one of the immediate questions that comes to mind, Mona, is the fact that you have this supposedly an Iron Dome system that's supposed to thwart these rocket attacks, again, failing in this case in point. We heard explosions or sounds coming that have occurred in Jerusalem Al-Quds. But do you get a sense that there's going to be more rocket fire coming from Israel based on at least the way that you feel the situation out?
Well, it seems that Netanyahu, since yesterday, ordered for more Israeli forces to deploy in areas close to the Gaza Strip. And the Israeli media were speaking about fear that would the Palestinian resistance groups in the Gaza Strip, would they respond to what's going on? They were fearing that there would be something. Now, the excuse would be that the Israelis are only responding to rockets fired by the Hamas movement, the military group, or other groups from the Gaza Strip. However, they will forget that what they are doing is aggression, oppression of the Palestinian people. Hundreds of Palestinians were wounded. More than half of those were seriously injured by the Israeli forces. Palestinians are being forced to leave their homes and to bring settlers and instead them. Hundreds also were detained by the Israeli forces. So the aggressive and the occupier is the Israelis. What the Palestinians are doing is only defending themselves. This is what the Palestinians are saying today. It seems that the Israelis might, if they want to escalate the situation, of course they will continue firing maybe rockets at the besieged enclave.
Okay, before I let you go, Ashraf, based on the news that we have as of roughly 20 minutes ago or 23 minutes ago, it indicated that three children have been killed by Israeli rocket fire. I believe that you mentioned four. Is that correct?
I'm still waiting for the number of casualties to confirm the news. There were children killed in the Israeli strikes. This is according to media reports or initial reports. But we're still waiting for confirmation from the Ministry of Health in Gaza and officials to confirm the actual number of casualties, including fatalities, in these recent Israeli attacks.
Okay, very well. Israel has intensified its violent crackdown on Palestinians in the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound amid escalating tensions in Jerusalem outlets. Israeli troops fired rubber-coated bullets, tear gas, and sound bombs at Palestinian worshippers. The Palestinian Red Crescent says that more than 300 Palestinians were wounded and that several of them are in serious conditions. Over the past days, hundreds of people have been injured in Israel's crackdown on protests against planned evictions of Palestinians in Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in East Al-Quds. The Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has condemned Israel for its quote brutal storming and assault on worshippers at Al-Aqsa Mosque. Reactions are pouring in over violent clashes in Jerusalem Al-Quds sparked by Israel's attacks on Al-Aqsa Mosque and its planned eviction of Palestinian families. The UN chief says that Israel must exercise maximum restraint and respect the right to freedom of peaceful assembly. Antonio Guterres has urged Israel to cease demolitions and evictions. Iran has again expressed its solidarity with the Palestinians, calling on the UN and other international bodies to confront Israeli violations. Foreign Ministry spokesman Saeed Khatibzadeh said the Islamic world needs to respond more than ever to the Israeli brutality. Turkey has warned that Israel bears sole responsibility for any violence, calling on Tel Aviv to stop attacking Palestinians and prevent settlers from entering Al-Aqsa Mosque. Commentator Mick Knapp here says the storming of Al-Aqsa Mosque sends a clear message of the ongoing ethnic cleansing against the Palestinians.
This attack is sending a signal to people around the world that not even the Al-Aqsa Mosque is exempt from Israeli appetites. They don't want Palestinians there. They want a so-called Jewish temple there to replace the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And the pressure is relentless. This is the ethnic cleansing carried on without a break, but concentrated on the Al-Aqsa Mosque. The cruelty is transparent. And sad to say, the usual charade is beginning. There's condemnation of what Israel is doing. But these governments are not talking about action to make Israel stop.
The final list of candidates eligible to run for the upcoming presidential elections in Syria have been announced. Three candidates will be competing this month on leading Syria for the next 7 years. Our correspondent Muhammad Ali has more from Damascus.
Here at the Higher Constitutional Court, the final list of those eligible to participate in Syria's presidential elections has been announced. This comes after a week from the initial announcement, which was a period of time given for objections, which reached six. All have been declined.
The court rejected all objections due to the lack in the legal and constitutional terms of their applications. Thus, the final announcement is as follows. The court has accepted Abdullah Abdullah, Bashar al-Assad and Mahmoud Meri as the final candidates in the upcoming presidential elections.
Abdullah Abdullah is a former MP and Mahmoud Meri is a Syria-based opposition figure. According to the court, candidates are allowed to start campaigning on the 16th of May. 10 days before the date of the elections in Syria. However, individuals and even public and private bodies have already filled the streets of President Assad posters in a wide show of support that indicates who is likely to win. Presidential elections this year are different from any previous ones from many aspects.
I expect a large participation by voters this year because so many parts of the country have become secure and under government control. We have three candidates and Syrians will decide who the winner is.
Previous elections were more difficult from today during the war because of terrorist mortar attacks. Today I see Syrians more excited to take part in elections and vote.
This is an unprecedented election process in Syria's history, as for the first time, more than 50 persons applied to become a candidate, among them women. In April, the People's Assembly officially announced the date of the elections, including the terms that should be met for those who wish to run, which included the votes of at least 35 MPs. All eyes are on the presidential elections in Syria, a process carried out according to the country's constitution. Despite the fact that so many countries known for their hostility to Syria are against the elections, the Syrian government is keen to abide by the law and send a message that only the Syrian people are entitled to decide the future of their country. Hamad Ali, Damascus.
Malaysia has announced a month-long nationwide lockdown to tackle a new surge in coronavirus cases. Prime Minister Mohiuddin Yassin said all educational institutes will be closed and all social gatherings will be banned. All interstate and interdistrict movement will also be halted, except for emergencies. This as the country logged more than 3,800 new cases, bringing the total to above 440,000. Meanwhile, in India, daily coronavirus cases and fatalities slightly retreated from recent record highs. The health ministry reported over 366,000 new infections and more than 3,700 deaths Monday. The pandemic has claimed nearly a quarter of a million lives in India. And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kHz every day from 19:20 to 20:20 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. the month of God.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, we're with you with another episode of our special series for Ramadan. We have reached the last days of this blessed month. As you know, the final point of perfection is proximity to God. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, asked God in supplication Kumail, "Place me among the best of your servants, in enjoyment with you, and the nearest in abode with you, and the choicest in proximity with you." Imam Zainul Abidin, or Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, also appeals to God in this way: "Nothing will cool my burnt heart except reaching you, and nothing will extinguish my internal fire except looking at your face, and nothing will satisfy my enthusiasm except meeting you, and nothing will calm me except nearing you, and nothing will remove my sorrow except your proximity." Of course, proximity with God Almighty does not mean physical proximity and nearness in place, because God is not a material being to be confined in time and space. He is far beyond the limitations of time and place. The proximity which the Prophet of Islam, or the infallible Imams, peace be upon them, speak about means spiritual growth and sublimity of the reality of our creation, so that we become qualified to get the divine blessings and bounties of the Lord. If you remember, we discussed the Islamic laws or injunctions related to atonement, or kafara, for the nullified fast, as it is called in Islamic jurisprudence. Today we are going to talk about fidya, or ransom, which has special uses, again for nullified fast. This ransom is the money that is paid to the poor by those who are allowed to break their fast during Ramadan. First, among such people are old men and women who cannot fast due to their old age. Second are those who are suffering from excessive thirst, and fasting is very hard for them. Third is the pregnant women, who, near to their labor, and fasting is harmful for the unborn child. Fourth is the nursing woman, whose milk is scanty. Fifth is the patient that fasting is harmful for him or her, and his sickness continues till the next month of Ramadan. It is noteworthy that the amount of fidya, or ransom, is the same as kafara, or atonement, which is the money equal to the price of 750 grams of wheat for each day. A pregnant woman who cannot fast out of fear of her child should break her fast. But later on, she should compensate for fasting for each day and also pay the ransom. This is the same for a nursing woman. But a patient whose sickness lingers on until the next month of Ramadan, he does not need to fast for the days that he has not fasted. Rather, he should only pay the ransom for each day. The fact that God Almighty has sent down the Holy Quran in the blessed month of Ramadan reveals the fact that greatness and lofty position of God's final scripture. Thus, we should be thankful of this great gift of God. The blessed month of Ramadan has many names, but one of the most famous is the month of the Holy Quran. That's the reason why the Prophet has urged Muslims to recite as many ayahs and surahs of the Holy Quran in this month as they can. That's why he has said the recitation of one ayah in this month has the reward of reciting the whole of the Quran in other months. Well, dear listeners, let us now recite the supplication for the eve of the 28th of Ramadan. O placer of the night in the air, O placer of the light in the sky, and the preventer of the sky from falling on earth except with his permission, and their guardian from perishing, O knowing, O great, O forgiving, O everlasting, O God, O inheritor, O receiver of those who are in graves, O God, O God, O God. The best names, the loftiest parables, the grandeur and bounties belong to you. I ask you to bless Muhammad and his progeny and place my name on this night among the successful, and my spirit with the martyrs and my good deed at the highest point of paradise, and my evil deeds forgiven. And I plead with you to grant me certitude, which accompanies with my heart and faith, which takes doubt away from me, and make me satisfied with what you have distributed for me, and give us good in the world and good in the hereafter, and guard us against the punishment of burning fire, and give me as sustenance on this night your remembrance and your gratitude and enthusiasm towards you and returning to you, and assisting me in what you have assisted Muhammad and his progeny of Muhammad. Greetings to him and to them.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Brother Hasnain Rajab Ali.
All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I begin in His blessed name for granting us this opportunity to continue to reap infinitely in the grace and the mercy of God the Almighty. For we know that we all love good things, and we love ourselves, we love our own existence. We love to live in a state of bliss and happiness and tranquility. And we love beautiful things. We get repulsed by ugly things. We love good smell, good food. And we don't like bad smell. And we don't like pain. We don't like difficulty, stress, and so on. Those are natural instincts that we all have. And those are all blessings of God. The fact that we don't like certain things and we like certain things is an indicator that God has hardwired us and programmed us by which to move in the direction of greater existence. You and I in this blessed month of Ramadan should also be considering, what are the outcomes of my fasting? What are the outcomes of my spirituality? What are the outcomes of my purity? What can I do to stop this kind of madness? What can I do to alleviate that burden? What can I do to spread more love? And that's the verse I want to start with today. As you know, in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 160. Listen to the verse. You know, it's interesting when people say Islam, God has created this hell, you know, and it's amazing. We don't like hell, but we're sending everybody to it. You know, if somebody's not on my side, send them to hell. I don't like hell. Yeah, but you're sending everybody to hell. It's amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. I cannot express what I see, what I understand. And the product, even yesterday when we talked, when I came to this country, and what God has done for us, for me, just me, realizing that He put me from Africa to America, protected me, kept my parents, allowed me to get educated, prevented accidents. And even if I died in an accident, if that was meant to me, alhamdulillah, no problem. But here I am, sitting, talking to an audience around the world. You think this is a fluke? You think this is a chance? No, it's not a chance. It's not a chance. No. This is by divine decree that God Almighty has put us in this environment to give us the opportunity. And I believe that when we take account of what God has given us as a gift, God will continue to multiply. His mercy is incomprehensible. وَلَوْ أَنَّمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٌ وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ. If you took all the trees on earth and made them into pens, and took the seas and added seven more seas as ink, you will not exhaust the attributes of the mercy of God. Subhanallah. What we're talking about is nothing. We're just scratching the surface. And you and I must feel it. You and I must feel it so much that if a boulder is put in front of us, we will break it. I remember reading a story of a man. Just think about this. This is a true story to show you the power. In India, there was a man living in a very poor community. Very poor. Basically meager. You and I have no excuses. We have all these luxuries in life, majority of us. This man's wife became ill in India. And in order for him to take his wife to the hospital, he had to go around the mountain, which was a very long pathway. And he did. And when he arrived at the hospital, holding his wife, she passed away. She didn't make it. She died. But look at the will of this one man in India, a poor pauper, a pauper who's got no luxuries, doesn't even have a car, had to walk around the mountain and carry his wife. He probably didn't even have a cart to carry her. You know what he does? He comes back and says, I will not allow anybody to go through what I went through. He starts to take a little chisel and starts to chisel the mountain. You know, many of us would laugh at them and say, what are you doing? First, you're poor. You've got a meager tool. How are you going to break this mountain? He said, where there's a will, there's a way. He started chipping. People saw that. People joined him. In no time, the entire mountain was cut and there was a direct road to reach the hospital in one third of the time. The moral of the story? You and I are too blessed for you and I to ever consider that there's a mountain in front of me. We have all these problems of bigotry. We have problems of ignorance that is pervasive in the world. And we have problem of leaders and speakers who are promoting this level of bigotry. And they are a vocal minority. And we must be the vocal minority on the opposite side, the way Imam Hussein alayhi salam was in Karbala, the way Imam Ali alayhi salam was in Kufa. You and I need to be that voice. We cannot be if we don't take account of all these gifts God has given us. So look at Surah Al-An'am, verse number 160. You tell me, what do you think of this? This conversation is, God made hell. He's going to punish us. You know, God is very quick. You know, He's harsh. Today somebody asked a question. Oh, religion seems harsh. Islam seems harsh. And they haven't read the Quran. They have not read it. Allah says, "Man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha." Wow. Listen to what God is saying to us. He says, whoever brings a good deed, he shall have 10 like it. God is multiple. I give $1 as an example. He multiplies it by 10 times. He's so merciful. Now you would think, since God is so just and He's so adil, that God just says, if you do something bad, I'll punish you 10 times, right? Look what Allah says. وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ Listen to the subhanAllah. فَلَا يُجْزَ إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا If you commit a sin, right? Allah says, and whoever brings an evil deed, he shall be recompensed only with the like of it. Look how merciful God is. God is saying, you do one good deed, I'll multiply it 10 times. You do one bad deed, it's 1 to 1. Wow! That means for me to enter hell is very, very difficult. Unless I worked very hard where I did 10 times the evil and I didn't do any good. How am I ever going to enter hell under that condition? And how do I enter hell? with my ignorance, which leads to my arrogance, which leads me to become self-destructive and destructive in society. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِثْلَهَا وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And Allah will not deal with you unjustly. The word yudlamun, unjustly, think about it, is this justice? God is giving me 10 times of one good and one evil. People say, oh, God created hell. You know, people are, most of the people are going to be stuffed in hell. And you know, this world is terrible and prayer doesn't work here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mercifully telling me and you that when you do one good deed, I multiply 10 times. That's the beauty. Now, of course, there are ignorant people, as you know, in the story of a man who was stealing bread. And as he's stealing bread, you find the imam is watching, or sixth imam watches this man stealing bread, putting it in his pocket. This is an interesting story. And then I'll end on this. And then imam follows him, and then this man is taking the bread and feeding the poor. So he takes it out and gives to the poor. So he goes to the store, he steals the bread, puts it in his pocket, then he goes out on the street and feeds the poor. So the imam corners him. He says, what are you doing? He says, well, God says, if you do one good deed, I give 10. And if you do one bad deed, it's 1-to-1. So I did a bad deed by stealing, but I did a good deed by feeding. So therefore, God gave me 10 on that side, 1 on this side. So I've got a credit of 9. You get it? Subhanallah. The imam says, you got no credit. And the man says, why? He says, because what you did was stealing. So whatever you gave was not yours. So there was no credit. It was all debit. So let's not say that, you know, I give charity, so now let me go get drunk, or let me do haram, or if I'm backbiting, it's okay, because it's 1-to-1. But I did one good deed. I went to the masjid. I prayed. I prayed Jummah prayers. I went to Hajj. That should be 10-to-1. Let's not use that logic. What Quran is trying to tell me is God is too merciful. And God says, take advantage of it. In conclusion to this, and we're honored to have today very good panel members, as always, who will inspire us. But this inspiration is a starting point, is let us do good and let us eradicate this madness. Our neighbors, our friends, our community, anybody we know. You and I are going to be role model examples, and we're going to let those would-be bigots never to become bigots.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
According to analysts at ETH's daily capital energy transfer, which can store about 60% of U.S. daily gas consumption in areas hit hardest by last February's freeze, could report an $850 million profit from selling the fuel to utilities and industrial customers during the storm. Other people familiar with its operation say that figure could actually be higher. We now present you an article written jointly by Devika Krishnakumar, Scott DeSavino, and Jessica Resnick-Alt, under the heading, Gas and Power Sellers Rack Up Billions in Profit from Texas Freeze. According to more than two dozen interviews and quarterly earning reports, natural gas suppliers, pipeline companies, and banks that trade commodities have emerged as the biggest market winners from last February's U.S. winter blast that roiled gas and power markets. The deep freeze caught Texas's utilities off guard, killing more than 100 people and left 4.5 million people without power. Demand for heat pushed wholesale power costs to 400 times the usual amount and propelled natural gas prices to record highs, forcing utilities and consumers to pay exorbitant bills. After the storm, few companies wanted to talk about their financial gains, unwilling to be seen as profiting from other people's hardships. But a clearer picture is emerging from quarterly earnings, and as utility companies smarting from big bills sue to recoup their losses. The biggest winners were companies with access to suppliers, including leading energy trader Vitol, gas suppliers Kinder Morgan, enterprise products partners and Energy Transfer, and banks Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, and Macquarie Group. According to interviews and reviews of public documents, the firms combined stand to reap billions of dollars in profits by selling natural gas and power during the storm. However, it is possible that some companies may never collect on those sales due to ongoing litigation. Losers include producers that could not deliver oil and gas due to frozen wellheads, gathering systems, and processing stations. The week-long output loss cost Shell producer Pioneer Natural Resources $80 million, Chevron about $300 million, and ExxonMobil about $800 million. Utilities are complaining of price gouging and of unwarranted supply cancellations. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission is reviewing gas and power markets for potential market manipulation. Goldman Sachs and Vitol did not comment. Boffer did not respond to a request for comment. According to analysts at East Daily Capital, Energy Transfer, which can store about 60% of U.S. daily gas consumption in areas hit hardest by last February's freeze, could report an $850 million profit from selling the fuel to utilities and industrial customers during last February's storms. Other people familiar with its operations say that figure could actually be even higher. Energy Transfer did not comment for this story. The company reported its results on Thursday, 6th of May. Rival Enterprise Product Partners said the storm led to gains of about $250 million in the first quarter. Kinder Morgan, another gas storage and pipeline operator, earned about $1 billion during the storm, the vast majority from higher gas prices and higher sales. Anticipating high demand, Kinder Morgan said it dispatched workers and backup generators ahead of the storm to its gas storage and pipeline facilities. At the beginning of February, gas prices ranged from $2.50 to $3 per million British thermal units at hubs from Houston to Tulsa, Oklahoma. According to government data, prices began climbing on 11th of February into the hundreds of dollars, with Tulsa's hub surging to a record $1,192 on 17th of February. One natural gas trader said, "That's what happens when you go from a very well-supplied market to a very tight market, and in this case, a catastrophically tight market," adding, "That was very localized pain, and it really surprised a lot of people." Energy traders with three Texas electric cooperatives told the Reuters news agency they paid as much as $400 per million British thermal units during a four-day stretch that began on 18th of February. They requested anonymity because they were not authorized to speak about the crisis. San Antonio's municipal utility, CPS Energy, said its gas bill for the week was about $700 million. Tyson Slocum, Energy and Environmental Advisory Committee member at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and a director at Public Citizen, a consumer advocacy organization, said, "I've been tracking natural gas markets for 20 years now. I've never seen price increases like we saw last February." Australia's Macquarie Group, the second largest marketer of US natural gas, said its trading around the storm boosted its overall profit outlook for the year by about 10%, which analysts estimated at about $400 million Australian dollars, or $317 million US dollars. Sources within the firm who requested anonymity said ahead of the storm, Macquarie traders researched how previous cold fronts disrupted infrastructure to prepare a plan. The company did not comment for this story. Texas's grid operator ERCOT canceled $1 billion in service charges, and state officials are considering securitizing unpaid ERCOT bills from electric companies that defaulted. According to court filings, many of the firms that profited from trading, such as Goldman Sachs and Bank of America, are also facing losses from their exposure to utilities and electric cooperatives that have declared bankruptcy. According to a source with direct knowledge of the matter, Bank of America made hundreds of millions via its trading arm, but it is owed nearly $480 million by Brazos Electric Power Cooperative, which filed for bankruptcy. Disputes over price gouging and reneged contracts have also emerged after some suppliers declared the freeze was a force majeure event that allowed them to suspend contracts. The Macquarie Group was sued by ExxonMobil seeking to void an $11 million gas bill. CPS Energy sued British Petroleum, Chevron, Energy Transfer and others for submitting bills that ran into hundreds of millions of dollars. Texas wind farm operators also have filed lawsuits against trading arms of JP Morgan Chase and Citigroup, maintaining the cold snap last February was an extreme event that overrode contracts for power generation and delivery.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
People who limit the Quran to worshipping and personal matters haven't understood it. This is a part of a speech delivered on April 14, 2021 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, at the annual Ramadan Quranic meeting. The speech was delivered via video conference with the participation of a number of prominent Quranic reciters.
Whenever we refer to the Quran for a similar incident and whenever we ask for its guidance, the Holy Quran will offer us this particular guidance. Today is the same. In the present time too, some people might spread a rumor among us saying, such and such a government group and superpower is hatching plots against you. You are ruined, and other such rumors. Here too, the same guidance will be offered. But it only increased their faith. They said, for us Allah suffices, and He is the best disposer of affairs. Of course, for us Allah suffices, and He is the best disposer of affairs. Cannot come true by sitting idle in a corner of one's house. We should come to the middle of the arena, as was the case with Muslims in that era. This is the lesson. Go to the heart of the arena and do what is necessary, and then say, for us Allah suffices, and He is the best disposer of affairs.
عم العباد يا خير زاد
رمضان يا شهر القرآن فيك أذوق حلاوة الإيمان لا لا تنقضي أنت للروح دواء رمضان 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 ليتك دوما قريب
Fudayl ibn Yasir, an outstanding and trustworthy follower of Hazrat Baqir and Hazrat Sadiq, greetings be upon them, says that he once asked Imam Baqir, alayhi salam, what a specific narration meant. There was one specific narration which says, all ayahs in the Quran have an explicit and implicit meaning. Of course, the narration is longer than this. He asked what the explicit and implicit meanings are. Hazrat Baqir alayhi salam said, its implicit meaning is its ta'wil. Ta'wil means what an ayah refers or returns to. Some of the events have already happened and some have not taken place yet and they will happen later. Like the sun and the moon, they will always be there. These holy ayahs are like the sun and the moon, which always stand above us. It is not the case that they are present in certain days and absent in certain others. They are always present. Quranic guidance is like this.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.